The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
To Healing from Within with your host, Cheryl Glick, and co-host, Tim Fisher. Our program is designed to encourage self-investigation and self-mastery of emotions, thought processes of the mind, and how they inform the physical body. It's time to align your inner essence with your daily physical life for the purpose of promoting positive experiences. Now, here are your hosts, Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher.
Good morning and welcome to Healing from Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and I am here today with co-host Tim Fisher and very special guest, Dr. Raymond Moody, who is the author of the best-selling book, Life After Life, which has sold over 30 million copies. And he is also the author of 11 additional books, including his newest book, Glimpses of Eternity, which we will be talking about today. Good morning, Dr. Moody.
Good morning, Cheryl, and thank you so much for having me on your program.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And thank you, Tim, too.
Good morning, Dr. Moody, and good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Dr. Moody. Dr. Moody is the leading authority on the near-death experience, a phrase he coined personally in the late 70s. Dr. Moody has distinguished himself by continuing his thirst for knowledge and understanding of the human energetic soul and the unlimited possibilities for enhancing and expanding higher consciousness for himself and for others. And personally, I am so thrilled to have the opportunity to discuss our perceptions about the human and spiritual aspects of both life and death. Raymond, I remember when I first met you about 5 years ago.
Yes, at the Learning Annex.
Yes, it was at the Learning Annex in New York City. And as my own energy healing skills and mediumship abilities were evolving, I was guided to lectures to listen to the most expert leaders in the field of higher consciousness and spiritual communication. And I was guided to you. I was very much aware of spiritual energy surviving after death because of the many miraculous experiences I was having on a consistent basis, both through readings that I did for as a medium and intuitive healer for other people, and coincidences and the synchronistic experiences which were starting to happen to me more and more as time went by.
And when Cheryl and I met, it was a real coincidence, at a yoga class in Long Island, and to this day, we're still having a chuckle over coincidences that are always popping up in our lives.
Yes, all the people popping up, the wonderful people, thank goodness. It's no coincidence, obviously, that your research into near-death experiences made it possible for me to understand how some mediums, or just people, regular, everyday people, have their abilities heightened by a near-death experience.
And recently,
that's right.
One of our guests.
You know, I've seen that many times where someone has a near-death experience and comes back with some ability that seems really beyond the norm. The first person I ever knew who had that was a woman named Frances Stokes, who was a medical receptionist in the town where I lived. This was about 1970 or so, and she was the first one to tell me that. This woman was just, you know, a regular down-to-earth person, an excellent medical receptionist. My dad was a doctor in that town, and he found out about her case through his friend, who was the doctor for whom she was a receptionist. And I remember her talking to me about that with great awe, that she said that after her near-death experience, she had this ability to, for example, she said when she would step in the elevator with somebody, she could kind of sense what was going on with them. And I think that what happens is that this experience definitely breaks down the boundaries of the ego in people. And, you know, I was very impressed, Cheryl and Tim, that at the beginning of your show you said that what this show is all about is the importance of self-investigation. And I don't know if you're aware of that, but that is exactly what, for example, Plato is all about. Plato, who was, I guess, most famous for being the founder of the university system, all the subsequent universities are direct models of Plato's original
Plato
academy.
Plato said, know thyself.
He was one of the founders of Western thought, and he said very emphatically that unless we really investigate ourselves and look very deeply at this question of life after death, he really hardly even would count somebody as a human being who at least didn't look into that question and take it very seriously. And he said that all of philosophy, which in that day was just learning in general, that all of philosophy was a kind of rehearsal for dying. And so I think it's very interesting that your theme, which is the importance of self-investigation, is exactly how I got interested in this topic back in 1962 when I was an undergraduate philosophy student at the University of Virginia, because the first one of these near-death experiences I ever learned about was from Plato. And in the final book of The Republic, there's this story he tells with great reverence about a warrior named who was believed dead on the battlefield. But during the funeral, this soldier just sat up and he was revived, and he talked about going into another realm. And then 3 years later in 1965, still there at UVA, I met Dr. George Ritchie, who was a professor of psychiatry at that time at UVA, who had actually had this experience. And since that time, I've had the wonderful honor, as it really is, to talk with literally thousands. I mean, you know, people throw off words like, oh, thousands and so on, kind of like casually, but I'm talking seriously here. I have literally talked with thousands of people beginning in the early 60s who had this experience of seeming to leave their bodies and go through a passageway into a light and see their relatives who had passed away and undergo a memory review in which every single detail of their lives is portrayed. And they say that when you review your life and the course of this experience at the end of life, you don't see it from the perspective you had when you were doing these actions, but rather when you it's like looking at someone else. But you see an action that you did and you remember doing it, but when the action has its effect, then you find yourself embedded in the consciousness of the person with whom you've interacted. And so therefore, if you see yourself doing a mean-spirited thing to somebody else, then you feel directly and empathically the hurt that you brought about in that person. Or if you see yourself doing a kind-hearted action, then you feel the good feelings you brought about. So, you know, talk about self-investigation. I mean,
well,
you know,
that's what this show is all about.
It is.
We're
very
much more than we appear to be. We're both spiritual, energetic presence, and we are physical presence. And when we can learn to combine both arenas, we can actually understand more about life and death.
Now,
I wanted to ask you about Dr. Ritchie. I had a question. You just brought him up. Can you give a clinical definition of death and a near-death mm-hmm. experience, and also tell us what Dr. Ritchie actually described to you, because I know he's a friend. And
he is, and George died about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's passed away now, but he was the finest human being I have ever known. And in terms of death, well, you know, there's a complication here, Cheryl, because death just means, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's by definition the state that you don't get back from, right? That it's the mm-hmm. final irreversible cessation of life. So the reason I call these things near-death experiences is that since they recovered, the people by definition weren't dead, right?
Right.
But although you have to say that, there is the other fact on the other hand, which is a medical fact, that I have known many people for whom there is no medical accounting for how they could possibly have survived. The people who, for example, George Ritchie was in a state of apparent death for at least 9 minutes. He was pronounced dead twice. And the doctor who actually ended up resuscitating him by injecting adrenaline directly in his heart said years later that in the long practice of medicine that he said that Dr. Ritchie's case was the most unusual case he had ever seen in the practice of medicine. And basically George said that he sort of came to. He had been pronounced dead of double lobar pneumonia. This was in December of 1943, and he sort of came to, and he saw his own body in the bed in this hospital, and he had this eerie experience. He says, you know, when you're that age and you're there in a hospital, you see all these other people in hospital beds who look like you. I mean, you know, everybody had the crew cut, and they were all in good shape. And he said he literally couldn't tell which body he belonged to. But then finally he saw his fraternity ring on his finger.
He was snapped back into his body because it wasn't his time. I believe, you know, we have a time, a life plan. Yeah. A destiny to fulfill and lessons or opportunities and experiences to have. And when it's time, we just transform and our energy just moves to another dimension. I call it another dimension. But getting back for a minute to the day I met you, mm-hmm. I remember hearing you say repeatedly that you believed some part of us survived physical death. But I couldn't at that time, forgive me for a minute, I was a little rude at that time in my development. I couldn't understand why you didn't say you just know or knew that it did. Because I was doing readings for so many clients and getting so much accurate information and sensing the presence of souls and spirit. So it was hard for me to understand after 40 years of documenting why you just couldn't say I know. And I guess I was so passionate about sharing these understandings with everybody that I wanted everybody to step up to the plate and shout it out with me. But now as I I was kind of enthusiastic in those days. Now as I reflect on your position as a medical doctor dealing with the scientific and methodical approach to proving the survival of the soul after death, your approach was necessary for your work. So after the lecture, I went up to apologize for my strong viewpoint.
Oh, well, no.
It's coming back to you.
Well,
okay, on that note, Cheryl and Raymond, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk about your first meeting at the Learning Annex in New York.
Then I'll talk about that question.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Creating the life you desire is all about what the past, your thoughts and beliefs, can manifest in your future. Host Deborah Crossman will have you call in for a live reading regarding a loved one or experience from your past or a future prediction to give you the insight and focus that you need. She'll also teach you to use the law of attraction to help bring the things you want while keeping it from bringing the things you don't want. Tune in to Creating the Life You Desire with Deborah Crossman, Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on Seventh Wave Network.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The events of the world are not random. Rather, they're reflections of the collective consciousness and send ripple effects through our collective psyche. Now, there's a program that offers a heart-based spiritual view of the world around us. Tune in to On the World with host Jen Aramuth. Explore the connection between world events and universal patterns, as well as your personal journey. On the World with Jen Aramuth airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
And welcome back. You're listening to Healing from Within. Today, our special guest is Dr. Raymond Moody, who is an expert on near-death experience and the author of Glimpses of Eternity, his newest book, and our host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. So, Raymond, after the lecture, I went up to you and I said my name was Cheryl, and you responded your wife was Cheryl,
yep.
And I laughed, and we both laughed, and I asked if I could send you a copy of my book, Life is No Coincidence, and you graciously accepted, and I remember saying, I hoped our paths would cross again, because the sincerity and scope of your knowledge and love for life so stimulated my own energy force to continue to do this investigative work.
Well, good.
Raymond, you know, people often ask me how I became interested in spiritual communication and an exploration of the concept of life after death. So I tell them about a spiritual visit I had from my grandpa the night before my dad died. My grandfather came, I felt him in shadow next to me, and he told me to write something for my dad. And the next day I was informed by my sister that I had to write my dad's eulogy. I never did forget the feeling of that visit and comforting connection to my grandfather's energy. Raymond, have you ever had any spiritual visitations or been in deep meditation where you were aware of spiritual energy?
Absolutely. You know, I think this experience you are talking about is actually quite common. And I, too, had an experience in which years after my grandmother died, I saw her just as vividly as I have ever seen anyone else and had a very deep and intensive experience with her that sort of changed my life. Now, in terms, Cheryl, of what you were talking about, in terms of the difficulty of putting this into proof, I mean, you can have personal experiences and thereby know on that basis. But then when you try to give a proof that will stand up for others who haven't had such an experience, you formerly got into real difficulties, but I think that difficulty is gone now because I think the essential problems have been solved that will eventually make real rational enlightenment on the afterlife questions.
I think it's within our grasp and our lifetime when the veil or this division of energies will be made clearer through scientific and technical research.
I mean,
so many of us know it to be true, and the others who are afraid of it or haven't had any experiences, or even who have had experiences but push it away because they're just too frightened by it.
Yeah.
They want to be in the physical life. They don't really want to know about a life after life.
Yes,
Freeman,
exactly.
Most people describe their death experience.
Few people take this seriously. And, you know, one of the easy out for people who don't want to face this is that they can look at these near-death experiences and say, well, it's just the chemistry of the brain as the oxygen is diminished. This creates a hallucinatory phenomenon in the brain. But now we know that this identical same experience that we know is the near-death experience is also very common among the bystanders or onlookers at the death of someone else. Physicians will tell you this, that they experience something as a patient leaves their body, or family members standing by may say that they see this light in the fill up the room, or they see their relative's bodies or spirit seem to leave the body at the moment of death. And in numerous cases, we have instances where people feel that they accompany their dying loved one part way toward this light, which is the theme of the book you mentioned, Glimpses of Eternity, which has just been published by Guidepost, is my book on this subject. And if you think about it, that eliminates the explanation that these things are entirely the product of the brain winding down, because the bystanders are not ill or injured, and yet they have identically these same experiences. So I think with this new information, we're into a situation where it's going to become increasingly difficult for the so-called skeptics who actually, in terms of reality, are not skeptics at all. They don't. The so-called skeptics don't even know what that word means. And interestingly, and I can say that as a professor of ancient Greek philosophy, it's plain these so-called skeptics haven't even gone to the trouble of looking up the word. They don't even know what they're talking about. But nonetheless, my point being that these sort of flimsy kinds of things that these pseudo-skeptics give to dismiss this are now kind of swept away by the fact that people who are not ill or injured, who are standing near a death, report these same things, including, incidentally, I have quite a number of cases in which the bystanders at a death empathically co-lived the life review of the person who was dying.
Oh, that's fantastic. I haven't heard that. But I know, Raymond, in your new book, you're coining a new phrase called shared death experiences.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about here. And I know, as a hospice volunteer for the last 7 years, I see that time and that transition from this plane to the next plane as an opportunity for both the souls departing and those remaining a little longer to grow both in a human and a spiritual way. You know, you were also talking about doctors. I know I read that you tell a story about a doctor, a young doctor, who actually saw a cloud or energy lifting up and
yes.
He went to talk to other doctors. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, this is something I have heard for a long time. I became aware of this back in the 70s. One of my own medical school professors, who was a wonderful woman, during my first year in medical school tell me of an event in which she had empathically co-lived in the death of her mother. She was trying to resuscitate her mother and saw her mother leave her body and this whole thing. And so I began to get interested in this. And back in the late 70s and early 80s, I heard this mostly from physicians. And what doctors will occasionally tell you is at the point where the patient dies, they seem to see what seems to be like a transparent replica of the person. Just sort of stand up or move away from the body and move away. Or sometimes this is described as a sort of roundish, golden gray mist almost, although they say that it seems to have a very complicated structure that they have a hard time describing. But this is something that doctors will tell you, that sometimes at the death of a patient, they see this, what else can we call it but
don't
spirit,
they call that
I guess.
Etheric or energetic?
Yeah, bubble? I mean, you know, words fail, but I guess the closest word we have for it is spirit. And you know, this is, I think as a general rule, doctors are not going to just broadcast this information, but I've just heard it from so many physicians over so many years. It does seem to be a fairly common occurrence.
Well, I was raised to believe that this life was what we had. My father was a podiatrist, foot doctor, and very methodical. However, about 15 years ago, when I had my own experience with that impression from my grandfather, which was a visit, not a dream, mm-hmm. I started to research and meet many people who could help me, and I developed my own ability. And I want to tell you just a quick story. I was asked one day by a student of mine to do a reading for her daughter's boyfriend who had just passed that day. Mm-hmm. He was 19, and he died in a motorcycle accident, and his name was Michael. And I didn't know if I could make a connection that soon after death, but I wanted to help these people. They were so distraught. And I did a meditation, and I actually sensed the boy lift off his motorcycle and lift up into spirit. And he looked back, and he knew he was so sad to leave everybody, but he looked ahead and knew it was his time to go, mm-hmm. and he was being called. And it was a beautiful place or experience that he had to have. And he went, and then I got a lot of information. It was factual about the funeral that had not even happened yet that they told me later. So he gave me a lot of information, but I actually in that one time felt him lift up.
Yep.
And it was so beautiful and sad at the same time for the people left behind. But I do hospice work, and I do that because I don't want people to feel so sad. I want them to know it's just a transition and part of our growth as souls and eternal energy. And
Well, that's
and
very
Tim,
similar to what I
question.
Do. You know, I mean, you and I are doing the same thing Plato did 2,500 years ago, which is to try to bring to people's attention that this world that we seem to be in is not all there is.
Yes,
and that
we're not all that we appear to be. We're much more.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the possibilities of our growth and evolvement are so much.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Healing From Within.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you ready to discover the path to true health, well-being, and conscious living? Tune in to Interstate Radio. The journey to your highest potential begins within. Join your hosts, Lisa Ingalls and Chip Richards, along with featured guests in exploring the art and science of human potential with practical tools for conscious living as individuals and a global community.
Listen for Interstate Radio Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on Seventh Wave Network, and Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher invite you to tune in to Healing from Within, to rev up your energy by learning the art of allowing, accepting, and surrendering to the truth of your dynamic and exciting physical and soul life. Remain in bondage and pain, or step up to your greatest self, a being of love and gratitude. Life is but a dream if you live it with positive attitude. Healing from Within can be heard live every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. Tune in and realize your true destiny and life path.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
You're listening to Healing from Within with our guest, Dr. Raymond Moody, an expert on the near-death experience, and the author of Life After Life. His website is lifeafterlife.com. And our host is Cheryl Glick, author of the forthcoming Whispers from Spirit. And Dr. Moody, would you say that most people who describe a near-death experience afterwards have a life-altering effect? And
they absolutely do, Tim. And I will qualify that a little bit by saying that near-death experiences are spread out on a sort of continuum. That is, that not everybody has the whole picture. Some people may say that they just, all they remember is they got out of their body and they saw their body from a distance, and maybe they entered partway to this tunnel. Whereas other people, and typically the people who had extremely lengthy cardiac arrest, have this whole full-blown picture of going into the light and experiencing this being of love and light and so on. And of the people who have that kind of experience, these very transcendental experiences, they come back very positively with two statements. That number one, they just absolutely have no more fear of death anymore, because their experience convinced them personally that what we call death is just stepping over into some other state of reality. And then the other thing they say is that whatever they were chasing before, and, you know, I mean, it's like I can tell you as a psychiatrist, but also as a human being, that it looks to me like most people chase something, right? Like many people in this crazy world we're in now are chasing money or chasing power, which is such a laugh, or chasing, fame, or whatever they want, or if some people like me chase knowledge. But whatever people are chasing before their experience, they come back saying that what they learned through this experience, that the most important thing that we can do while we're alive is to learn how to love, because they say that's what they see in this review. If you think about it, if you have an experience in which you see that everything that you have ever done to anybody else, and that you feel directly the feelings that have brought about in that other person's life, well, then naturally you want to be a loving person. Now, that said, I can also say that they typically tell us that it doesn't necessarily make that much easier. In other words, even after you have this wonderful experience where you see your whole life and you come to appreciate the fact that that what life is all about is learning to love, that they say, nonetheless, it's very difficult to put that into practice, even after you have an experience like this. So what this does typically with people is to send them on this lifelong spiritual quest where they try to understand this experience better and to put it into words and to put it into action in their lives. And, you know, I think whatever anybody thinks about near-death experiences, I think there is one thing that we can say as an obvious fact out of this, and that is that life is a two-phase process. And what I mean by that is that in the first phase, we go through our life forward, sort of like looking at it from the point of view of the actor or the protagonist. But then when we die, apparently this thing is reversed, and you see the same action from the point of view of the other characters or actors in this. And you think about having an experience like that, it has to have a very powerful impact on people. So yes, this is something I think this whole experience that really very dramatically transforms people.
And I think it also transforms the people around them.
It does.
This knowledge and this awareness to change their own lives and others. By the way, Raymond, I have also met and heard Danny and Brinkley,
because
his near-death experience. I know he's a friend, and you have worked with him. Uh-huh. And he was pronounced dead, I think it was 28 minutes. And now he has the ability to touch or embrace a person, and he sees a whole running movie, like a vision of their life path and what they're supposed to experience while they're here. He didn't have that ability before his severe accidental death, and I know it was by, because I spoke with him, it was by, he was electrocuted by, while talking on the phone. Would you want to tell us something
about that? Well, I don't really know about that. I think that that was not exactly the story I understood about Danian, but he is, as you know, a very enigmatic person. Well, I don't know. I mean, I love Danian very much, but in terms of what he says, I don't know.
Okay.
But, I mean, I just...
Let's go on to something else. Recently, Raymond, I was talking to you about this before. We both saw Clint Eastwood's new film.
Yeah.
Starring Matt... I went the night it opened. Starring Matt Damon, and it was entitled Hereafter. Mm. And in my opinion, as an intuitive healer medium, it was quite accurate in describing how the main character was able to get his messages from the spirit and what he actually sensed and felt. He was using clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience.
Yeah.
But what disturbed me, you know, what really disturbed me, and I started to cry, it was suggested in the movie that when he was a boy, I don't know his name, but this medium, Matt Damon's character, had several near-death experiences and was also very ill. And he believed that his brain had been altered in some way and that he was damaged. He saw his ability as a disability, not a gift.
Well, I've heard that too. But you know, I think that there's all kinds of degrees of this, Cheryl. And I have no ability to evaluate, for example. Now, the people who are most famous for this, for example, and who get on the stage and do it, that's one thing. And I have no rational basis to make a comment about that the other way. But the kind of thing you do, which is sit around with people on a one-on-one basis. And what is very clear to me is that that is a fact of human reality, in the sense that there are just some people who can do something that I don't understand. For example, we have had a wonderful assistant that we love very dearly. She's like our family member. She's been with us for 18 or 19 years now. And Linda, first of all, she doesn't do this professionally by any means, and also it's not very common with her. In some cases, see, it seems to happen just once in a while with people, and then with other people, it seems to happen on a regular basis. There seems to be all sorts of gradation, but I've just seen many cases where, Linda sort of stands on her broom and looks at me and says, well, this is going to happen or this is going to happen. And lo and behold, I mean, it does. It does. I mean, what can I do?
There are many ways this ability to connect to higher energy manifest. And some people, like you were saying, I work on a one-to-one basis. And what I try to do through the messages I receive or the feelings or impressions is to help people improve the quality of their life and health so that they can live this life without as much fear and ego.
I wonder what you think about the folks who do it in a before 400 people on a stage. I mean,
well,
one of my mentors,
Robert Brown, he is an international medium and he works with John
Oh,
Edwards.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yes, and I have studied with him over the years, and he wanted me to be able to do it that way, but I said, well, my ability is
like
different.
Your personality.
I'm working on a one-to-one basis. I'm a teacher, through educating, through writing, and through helping people who I believe, I personally believe.
I wondered what you thought about that. I wondered what you thought about that, because to me, if you think about the intensity of what you do in your sessions, it just always has struck me as rather iffy that somebody would get up and, people very vulnerable in a big audience, whereas on a one-on-one basis, you can sort of... But when you got 300 people there, holy mackerel, who knows what they're going through?
Well, sometimes things, if a person is not trained and sensitive, they can make mistakes and cause harm. You know, when I first became aware of what I had to do, I kept it quiet. But then I realized that this communication between different energy dimensions and the knowledge that life survives physical death was the greatest knowledge I would ever be privileged to know.
Yeah.
So I decided to use it to help anyone who came to me. I didn't want them to be afraid of death anymore, because I'm not. But they could choose to become aware of their eternal divine energy or soul, and also their physical essence, the physical world. So that's been my way, healing with Reiki, energy healing, and also the messages. And I've stuck to my guns about that, because I haven't wanted to do the other. Not that maybe I can't even do the other, but I'm doing it the way that it seems to be happening.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
There is a lot more going on in religion and government than what high-ranking officials are telling you. The Bible uncovers the truth, prophecies, and a world of opportunities. Get the answers you need when you tune into the program To the Stars and Beyond with your hosts Michael List and Adam Hong. We'll explore the religious and spiritual beliefs from ancient history to the prophecies that are shaping the world and current events of today. To the Stars and Beyond airs live every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on 7th Wave Network. Explore the infinite possibilities of the unknown. Learn about the mysterious and mythical realms through time and space. Realize your inner truth. Tune in to Spirit Walker with Dr. Jeffrey Pierce and co-host Cindy Pierce. Dr. Pierce is a true intuitive. He is legally blind, uses no cards, pendulums, or guides, and has been found to have 97% consistent accuracy based on testing by the United Kingdom Institute of Psychic Sciences Research Center. Listen for topics that others are afraid to address on Spirit Walker, Wednesday at 1 p.m. East, 10 a.m. West on 7th Wave Network. We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from Within with Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher. We'd love to hear from you on our program today. Please call 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or if you prefer, you can send an email to starsforus@optonline.net. That's stars, the number 4, us, at optonline.net. Now, back to Healing from Within.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healing from Within with our host, Cheryl Glick. Visit her at CherylGlick.com, CherylGlick.com. And today our special guest is near-death expert, Dr. Raymond Moody. His latest book has just been published by Guideposts, Glimpses of Eternity. Welcome back, Cheryl and Raymond.
Thank you, and thanks again for having me on the show.
It's wonderful. Raymond, I think I had a glimpse of eternity in a description that my mother gave me before her death. She had a near-death experience, and she described it in its entirety to me, and mm-hmm. I have written about it in my book. Now, you have to know that my mother had no interest in the spiritual concepts or awareness of life after death, and that she told me this story even before I was doing the work I'm doing is very interesting. So here's what she described. She told me that there was a man standing at the foot of her bed who she did not know. And I said to her, was his name Timothy? Because at the time there was a nurse that kept appearing in the hospital, and his name was Timothy when she was having difficulty. And he seemed to be a spiritual helper of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed how he lifted up my spirits. And she told me, no, it wasn't Timothy. She didn't know him, and she told me she was not afraid. And she told me that the man had said that she had to complete something before she could go with him to a safe and lovely experience. She didn't say place. Mm-hmm. She said experience. So I asked her if she knew what she had to do. Should I call her brother? Because she was very close to her brother. They were older, and he hadn't been able to come to see her because he wasn't well. And she said, no. I thought she might be waiting to see him before passing, but she told me that was not what she had to do. And the day before she died, before she went into a coma, she said to me, and I remember these words, life has been very good. I had a good breakfast.
Great.
And I love you.
Oh, how nice.
I don't think I ever heard that from my mother because they didn't talk like that. They were parents from the Depression, and life was a little hard for them.
Yeah.
But I remember that. And I think in those simple words, I believe she expressed the reason a soul has a physical life. It seems that we should all learn gratitude and love and trust that all is well.
Yeah.
Here.
You know, yes, I've heard that same kind of thing very regularly, Cheryl, from people who are dying. It's, I think from the movies or the image that people conjure up in their minds of death is like some sort of gosh-awful thing. And sadly, that does happen sometimes, but...
Well, the
great
passing
great
is sometimes
majority,
difficult.
Yeah, well, the great majority of cases I've seen by far of people who are dying from a terminal illness, the actual death is not, you know, is...
It's challenging.
Well, you know, I think people just do very well with it. And you know, most people do that same kind of thing as your mother. They just say, well... You know, they reach this point of acceptance and that gratitude for life and so on that often comes out. Yeah, yeah. So,
but I think also she had a gift because she was able to see someone and he made her feel safe that all would be okay.
Apparently,
however it was a dream or a spiritual visitation. I really think it was a gift to her at that time. And
you know, about 40% of people who are dying in a hospice situation, or you know, where there's a gradual process of dying, about 40% of them, Cheryl, have that experience of seeing often a relative or another takeaway figure who comes in the room to sort of take them across. Yeah,
and I do hospice work, so I have been with many people over the last 7 years, and I believe my work is just to help them know everyone will be all right, the people who remain here and the people who have to go on.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. And I think, Tim, I think you wanted to ask a question about does one have a religious...
Well, we were wondering,
what did you want to say, Tim?
In your new phrase that you've coined in your latest book, Shared Death Experience, are men or women more likely to experience that with someone?
You know what I think, Tim, from long experience with this? My sense of it is that men and women have experiences like these at about the same rate.
I would agree.
But that women are generally more comfortable in talking about emotional things. So they are more likely to talk with you about it. And whereas men tend to sort of just listen and hold back and don't want to talk about it. And I've just seen that many, many times. I once knew a person who went through medical school with me, and he and I were friends for the whole 4 years of medical school, and he full well knew that I was investigating these near-death experiences. I was well known for it even when I went to medical school, and so my friend knew full well about my research. But during our first year of residency, after we had graduated from medical school, knowing each other for 4 years, our families spent a lot of time together, one day he called me into his office and he said, "Raymond, there's something I've been meaning to tell you." And he described this very dramatic near-death experience he had had. And so I think, generally speaking, men are hold back a little bit, but I think that they have the this experience with equal regularity as women. And you ask about the religion. Whether a person is religious or not doesn't seem to have anything to do with whether they have a near-death experience or a shared death experience. However, after an experience like these, if they haven't had any sort of religious understanding or idea, they do wake up to the importance of the spiritual dimension afterward.
Yes, as I did. I didn't have a near-death experience, but I had a happening of sorts, and many, many since, so I did wake up to it. Okay. Tim, did you have another question?
Well, if you've had a shared death experience, do you think that that gives you a better opportunity or ability to communicate with the deceased is one of the things we were wondering about? We've got to keep it short, though, because we're going to have to close
I don't know. As a general rule, I haven't heard from people with these shared death experiences. I haven't heard them as often say that there seem to be this continual contact.
No,
so, but I don't know. I don't know. I think that now there will be a lot of people investigating these shared death experiences, and eventually we will have a lot better knowledge about this.
All right. Well, Dr. Moody, we really want to thank you for being with us today. And our host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, and Dr. Raymond Moody, author of the newest book, Glimpses of Eternity, the knowledgeable, authentic journey to the heart of our spiritual essence. And join us next week when we welcome Robert Hansen, renowned medium, lecturer, and martial arts expert, Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Healing from Within. Until then.
thank you for listening this week to Healing from Within. Please join your host, Cheryl Glick, and co-host Tim Fisher once again next Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Until then, continue to realize your self-path and enjoy it.